up next on the Believer's Walk of Faith.
This is your year. God has planned for your name to be great. Say amen. And I got good news. You're not going to miss it.
Hello, this is Bill Winston, and welcome to the Believer's Walk of Faith, where we walk by faith and not by sight. Well, did you know that Christ is not Jesus' last name? No. Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. Now, if you are a born-again believer, you have Christ. I'm talking about the anointing inside of you. Now, that's today's teaching. Let's go into it. It's called Christ in You.
When we talk about this anointing, we've got to understand that the anointing is the thing that does what God wants done. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 9. This is when God was telling the people of children of Israel that he wanted to be their leader, their God. But they wanted a man. And in 1 Samuel chapter 8, if I can use it first, and verse 19, he said this, "Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, 'Nay, but we will have a king over us.'" In other words, God, we don't want you to be over us. We want a man. So God says, okay, all right. Look at that next verse. Look at that next verse. Come on. "That we also may be like all the nations." God didn't want you to be like all those people. All right, look at 1 Samuel chapter 9, and I'll start reading at verse 2. So God selects a man. Now, this is not God's choice. This is what we call people's choice. The Amplified. Kish had a son named Saul, a choice young man and handsome. Can't y'all see my name in there? Can't y'all see my name in there somewhere? Among all the Israelites, there was not a man more handsome than he. He was a head taller than any of the people. This is Saul. Now, this is the people's choice. Now, what did God do? Look at 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 1. What did God do with him? Because they chose him. What did God do? All right, 1 Samuel 10, verse 1. "And Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, 'Is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?'" Now, what happened? The anointing came on him. Now, he's powerful. He started prophesying all kinds of stuff. Amen. I want you to see this because it wasn't him. It was the anointing. Amen. It wasn't him. Amen. It was the anointing. Amen. I didn't do this. God used people to do things. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, when Saul was early in his ministry, he was submitted. But then somewhere he turned and started thinking, it's me. I'm cute. You got it? And when he did that, something began to happen. This is the right bunch I'm talking to here. Look what the Bible says here, 1 Corinthians, and 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse 23. "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Why? So no flesh shall glory in my presence. Do you hear what I'm saying? The expression my grandmother uses this, he starts smelling himself. Now, I don't know what all that means, but look what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 9. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. Wow. I mean, it's almost like the worse off you are when you get saved, the more you qualify. We want you to understand whose ability this is that's on you. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. So it's kind of interesting here when he says what God has chosen, he has chosen the foolish things. I had to find out, well, what is a foolish thing? And when God was speaking about the foolish things, he was talking about people who know they need God to succeed. We need God to succeed. And it's amazing how sometimes we get on up and get our big education and so forth and so on, and next thing you can't come to church. Come on, get our little money. Don't see us anymore. And so forth. I know that doesn't happen to anybody in the sound of my voice, but it happened to those people that you know. So, God wants to be your ability. He wants to give you. Look what the Apostle Paul said over in 2 Corinthians and chapter 12, praise God. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Check it out. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made what? Perfect, come on, in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. That the power of Christ, come on, may rest upon me. So when you go into a battle and you think you got it all together and you are the one that's going to get you this victory, that's when you become vulnerable. Amen. Folks, God is leading you into a fight you can't win. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. God is leading you into a piece of property you can't afford. Ooh, I like that one. Isn't that good? My point to you is that I think what has happened and why the church hasn't moved to where it's supposed to be is because it got saved by God, by grace. But somewhere after we got saved, we forgot God. And we said, Lord, I got it from here. And my goodness, we stayed right where we got saved at. So people are saved and still sick, saved and still broke, saved. Come on, still fussing with their wife, saved and still so forth. There's no change. And I'm saying this year is going to be a change in your life. When lack is there, is present, I told you it's because the anointing is not. So we got to get the anointing back in our lives, back in our relationship, so forth and so on. Because you tell God he's got it, he'll let you have, you got it, he'll let you have it. But it's going to teach you a lesson. Say amen to that. Amen. So you know what happened to Saul. He went crazy as a Betsy bug, ended up going to a fortune teller and all kinds of stuff. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 2, and let's talk about, again, one more time. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Now, the biggest thing I want to do with you is have you to know that you're not doing this, that you qualify. I don't know what your background is. Pastor, I don't have any degree. You qualify. Pastor, I have a PhD. You qualify. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying you didn't choose God, he chose you. I said he chose you. And do you know he knew what he was doing when he chose you? Because you are not the people's choice, you are God's choice. All right, look what it says up here. This is in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 12. And Elijah saw it. He saw the chariot take away his master, Elijah. And he cried, my father, my father. He was a spiritual father. The chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, watch this, and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Glory to God. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He also had smitten the waters. They parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. So what did he do? He picked up the mantle of Elijah. And he operated immediately on that anointing and hit the waters, and miracles took place. If you know anything about the history of Elisha did twice as many miracles as Elijah. What am I saying? Jesus said, the things that I do, shall you do also, and come on now. So you can expect you're going to be doing things that other folk are not able to do. Say amen to this. And you're going to be emerging, glory to God, as a powerful man or woman of God that God is going to use you to lead in the area that you are right now. Elijah died. If you look at 2 Kings chapter 13, he died. And Elijah died, and they buried him, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet and went on home to his family. Now, this is kind of interesting, because what I'm saying to you is that this anointing, it's so powerful that it will raise the dead. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Are you following what I'm saying now? I am saying that what has happened is the church has not been preached to believe in that anointing, and that that anointing is not only on you, but in you. Say amen. Amen. And that anointing gets its strength through use. That as I use that anointing, it's going to get stronger and stronger. Come on now. And stronger. Do you hear what I'm saying now? And you will see what happened over in Acts chapter 19. And Acts chapter 19 is the Apostle Paul. It says this in verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So this anointing was operating in such a way that a person could bring a handkerchief to him. He could then lay his hands on the handkerchief. Glory to God. And then they would take it and go home and put it on their uncle. Whatever their uncle had would be cleared up. This anointing is transferable. It's tangible. And can be carried in a cloth. Man, this is getting deep now. Are y'all following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? It can be carried. All right, come on up here and get it. She asked for this right here. Now, look here. I release the anointing in this cloth right now in Jesus' name. Now, let me tell you something. She believed what I preached. And you'll be surprised how many of us have gotten so intellectual in the church that I'm up here preaching this and I pull out that cloth. Man, give me that stuff. It'll work on a person who is ill. Here's me now. I would wrap it up in my pocketbook and expect money to come, because the anointing draws increase. Are y'all following what I'm saying? This, folks, listen, we got to stop being intellectual with this. God has chosen the foolish thing. See, he did it on purpose. Why? So no flesh will get the credit for it, man. The reason why that anointing can't get there is because of unbelief. The reason why that anointing, but she didn't have any unbelief. She was desperate. And the anointing works based on supply and demand. This woman said, if I can just touch his clothes, I shall be whole. She had to make her way through that crowd. And when she got through there, she touched his clothes. Pow! What happened? That anointing flowed, and she knew in her body that she was healed of that plague. And he turned around and said, who touched me? They said, everybody's touching you. He said, no, no, no. Somebody drew something out of me. Now, I'm not saying you have to come to me. You were anointed yourself. Yes. And what you need to do is start the oil to flowing. And you do it by going in. If you got somebody sick in the hospital, just test it out first. Just go in there. How you doing, girl? Yeah. How you doing, huh? Yeah. Praise God. In Jesus' name, how you doing? You know what I mean? You can just slip it on in there. But get used to being the anointed one and his anointing. He's living inside of you. He wants to touch humanity. Say amen to that. And you don't need to wonder whether it's so. It is so. Why? Because the book said it is so. The moment he got that mantle in his hand, he hit that water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah. He didn't say where Elijah was. He knew where Elijah was. He was gone, but he left his anointing. And I'm telling you, I believe that there are mantles in the earth waiting to be picked up. Mantle for Booker T. Washington. Mantle for this man. Mantle for that one. Mantle for that. I'm saying if you believe hard enough, God will put that mantle on you and you act on it the moment he gives it. I decree that you'll never be broke another day in your life, that this is your year for abundance. This is your year to move forward. This is your year for increase. Folks, you can even sow a seed and kick that anointing off. See, it's anything that you putting a demand on the anointed one. This is your year. God has planned for your name to be great. Say amen. And I got good news. You're not going to miss it. God is elevating you as I speak. This is going to be the year of joy for you. It's going to promote you. It's going to protect you. It's going to prosper you. It's going to provide for you. That anointing is going to take you places that you never thought you would go. Not by might, nor by power. Not by army, nor by human ability. But by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Folks, I remember Charles and Francis Hunter. I think both of them are going on to be with the Lord. Powerful evangelists. And they were having an evangelistic meeting. And I remember one time I got up, just got in line because I had something with my leg or something. And I wanted some healing. And Frances Hunter passed by me and almost couldn't stand up. Why? Because she was using that anointing. It was getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Say amen to that. But whatever your vocation is, whatever your assignment is in this earth, you get into that assignment. But understand, get that anointing working. Think about that anointing. Get consciousness of that anointing. That this anointing is going to cause me to excel above anybody else because it's going to put me in the captain's seat. Say amen to that. Now give God a shout and a praise. Woo-wee! Hey. I said, hey. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Come on, we're going to get new body parts. Come on, we're going to get new businesses. We're going to get creative ideas. We're going to get winning inventions. Come on, we're going to get new relationships because of the anointing. Yeah.